Wisdom, do you have it? Are you counted among the wise? Would you count yourself among the wise? If so, great. As we talked about last week, you have a full and successful life ahead of you, and you're in the middle of that. If not, why not? Why wouldn't you count yourself among the wise? What are you lacking? Is it because you just haven't had enough experiences yet to be able to learn from and to gain wisdom through those experiences? Or maybe you think you're too good for wisdom. Maybe you think you don't need to grow. And you think these people who think they need to are stupid. Or maybe you just don't care. Maybe you just don't want to learn. Maybe you've had experiences. Maybe you've heard people tell you things, and you just don't care. You just don't want to learn. Well, if you fall into any one of those three categories, we're going to talk about you today. We're going to talk about the simple, the inexperienced. We're going to talk about the mockers, the ones who think they're too good for wisdom. And we're going to talk about the fool, the ones who just don't care, who can't learn, who won't learn the lessons that life has to teach. I pray that you don't fall into one of those three categories, but we'll talk about all three of them today so that you can maybe see if there's a little bit of aspect of any of those that impact you. And by recognizing that, then you can learn and you can then grow in wisdom and have a better life. And that's what we started talking about last week. We started talking about this book of Proverbs that we have right smack dab in the middle of the Bible. And we found that Proverbs, well, the word proverb itself is really kind of a contraction of two English words, pro and verb, right? Verb is doing something, right? It's got something to do with action. Pro means positive, so it means positive actions, all right? And that's what we're doing with Proverbs, is they are positive actions. They're lessons that other people have learned that they want to pass on to us so that we don't have to learn things the hard way like they did. How do you know what to do in life, but basing your decisions and your choices and your directions on what you've seen in the past, on your past experiences or on past experiences of others that they've taught you and you've learned from? And that's what Proverbs are for, is to help us learn some of these lessons so that we can benefit from the experiences, the wisdom of others, and apply that to our own lives. Now, we found that Proverbs are not always true. For the most part, they are. They're kind of commonplace truth. They're statements of commonplace truth that use some kind of a comparison or some kind of figure of speech. Usually, they're a little poetic, so it helps you remember them. And there's some kind of word picture or a comparison or a figure of speech or something that also helps you remember them and kind of drives the point in a little bit harder. Now, the Proverbs that we see in the Bible here, this book of Proverbs, these are Proverbs to help impart commonplace wisdom. We called it folk wisdom last week versus, say, court wisdom, which is what the government's needed. And we saw that the Proverbs that we have in the Bible were written back in Hebrew poetry. Now, Hebrew poetry is a little different than our poetry. Now, they do have rhythm, but they don't have rhyme, except they have assonance and alliteration that we talked about last week, which basically is repetition of consonants and vowels and that help build the rhythm. And so that's a part of it. But another big part of Hebrew poetry, which you see throughout the books of poetry, the books of wisdom that we have in the middle of the Bible, that is Job through Song of Songs, and Proverbs is right smack dab in the middle of that, they use parallelism and intensification. You have two lines in a given verse. The first line and then the second line is a parallel statement or an intensification of the first line to help drive the message in stronger. And all the proverbs are written that way, as well as all the Hebrew literature of wisdom. Most people think that Proverbs was written by Solomon, and the bulk of it was. But there were also some other authors we saw last week, a guy named Agur, or a Ger or whatever. We have no idea who he was. And a king named Lemuel. And Lemuel was somebody who was not a king that we know of Israel or Judah. So he's a king somewhere else. But he had some wise sayings that they tried to capture. It appears that Proverbs was compiled under Hezekiah, because it refers to, in one of the references, here are some Proverbs of Solomon that were compiled by scholars under Hezekiah, or during the reign of Hezekiah. Solomon, why did he write so much of it? Well, because he was the wisest man. Okay, among all the people who have lived, other than Jesus Christ, who had the wisdom of God, he is probably the wisest man who ever lived. And how was he so wise? Because God gave him wisdom, and we talked about that. God gave him wisdom and great insight, and he then tried to pass that on to us, and we have that with the book of Proverbs here. He gives us at the very beginning five key reasons, five key purposes, and that's what we talked about last week, for the book of Proverbs. We see, number one, that the Proverbs are there for attaining wisdom and discipline. Okay, attaining mastery of life. That's what wisdom is. As you apply the lessons that you've learned in life to life, then you've mastered life and you can make the right decisions and go the right directions. And not only wisdom, but also discipline, self-control. Okay, Satan works on us hard. We work on ourselves hard to try to go other ways, but with discipline, with self-control, we'll take the right path. Okay, and Proverbs help build wisdom, help build discipline. Number two, for helping us understand words of insight. Okay, by helping us learn what other people are trying to teach us, rather than sloughing it off or ignoring it, but by learning those words of insight and taking those to heart and applying those, that gives us discernment. And so we have discernment because of what we've been taught, because of what we've learned, that we've taken to heart from others, these words of insight from others, that gives us the discernment we need to be able to make the right decisions with whatever life throws at us. The third thing is for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. Okay, we learn discipline, we grow in discipline. Well, live in that way. Acquiring a life that's disciplined and prudent. Okay, a life, and it goes on in that verse to explain that, it says a life that is right and just and fair. And what is that? That's an ethical life and a moral life. An ethical life and a moral life. So we gain an ethical life and moral life as we apply these proverbs to our life. Number four, for teaching the wise and guiding the discerning. So those who are already wise, who think they already know it all or have it down, can still gain, can still learn, can still become wiser. The same thing with the discerning, those who have discernment. They can be able to discern better. And then the fifth thing it says is for understanding proverbs and parables and riddles and complex sayings. As we grow in wisdom, then we can handle the more complex things and understand those and take them to heart and learn from them. The key verse that we had for last week, you can see our key verse today is up at the top of page one. The key verse at the top of page one last week is also the key verse for the book of Proverbs. And we find that in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, where there it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we talked about what that fear of the Lord means. Today we'll talk about the fools, okay? But we talked about what fear of the Lord means. It doesn't mean to be afraid of God, but rather fear of the Lord is recognizing that He is in control. The one who created us, the one who created everything that we see, feel, know, hear, and touch, He is in control. The problem is that we oftentimes try to put ourselves in control. We try to take control when it's not ours to take. But God is in control. And as we recognize that, and we turn control over to Him where it belongs in the first place anyway, then we seek to walk in His ways. When we recognize that He's in control, then we want to do things the way that He wants us to do things, the way that He wants to do things. That is the beginning of wisdom. By recognizing that God is in control and turning things over to Him, That is how we start gaining wisdom, by seeking God's truths. Then, what's interesting, as we gain in wisdom, we recognize He's in control, we want to seek His will, we learn that and gain His truths, His commands, and His wisdom, then we come to understand the fear of the Lord better. And we grow in fear of the Lord, and that brings even more wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So it's kind of a positive catch-22 thing here. God gives wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to those who fear Him. As we grow in that, we want to fear Him more. We want to put ourselves under Him more. We want to follow Him more. This is a process called sanctification, and wisdom is a big part of it. As we receive His wisdom, then we grow to understand His will and His ways, and we want to follow Him more. So it's not a task that we're trying to do. Maybe you start with that, but you grow and you want to grow in a relationship with Him and in your wisdom. So, what is wisdom? If we want to gain wisdom, and the purpose of studying this book of Proverbs is to gain wisdom, what is it? We talked about it a little bit last week. You might want to hit pause and just think and give yourself, how would you define wisdom before we go any further? Now, what we talked about last week is we brought out the Hebrew word that we see in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2, that's translated as wisdom, and that Hebrew word is chokmah. Who cares, right? Well, the reason I bring it out is because a lot of times when you go back to the original Hebrew or Greek, you get a lot more meaning out of those words than what we have in our English words. There's not as many Hebrew or Greek words as there are English words, so we have a lot of different words to say the same sort of thing, whereas the Hebrew or Greek will oftentimes carry a lot more meaning with it. And that's what chokmah does. It's not just what we would call wisdom, but it also deals with skillful mastery of life. Okay? Skillful mastery of life. As we grow in wisdom, we are more masters of this life. Why? Because we know God's will and His ways. We know what's right and wrong. We can discern. We can go take the right paths. We can understand the complex things that life throws at us. What does wisdom do for our everyday lives? Okay, turn to Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 to 4, and this gives us some valuable points that wisdom does for our everyday lives. It says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it's established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures." We talked last week about the relationship between wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and we found there's some strong relationships, but they're not the same. They can go together or they may not go together. You may have wisdom without knowledge or understanding. You may have knowledge without wisdom and understanding, etc. But as we try to build our life, or as our life is built to have a successful life, like a home, like a house, is the analogy that's being used here, by wisdom a house is built. So a secure fortress of a life is built by wisdom. And then through understanding, it's established. Okay, you can build a house, but it doesn't become a home until you live in it, right? So by wisdom, you can build the framework of a wise life, of a full and successful life. Okay, by understanding, you can then live that full and successful life. Okay? So you can live in that house. And then through knowledge, that house is filled. Through knowledge, your life is filled. Through knowledge, your life is filled with all sorts of blessings. So as we grow in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, it builds a foundation for our lives that we can live in and fills our lives with rich blessings. What does wisdom do for those who other people follow? You would think leaders should have wisdom, right? What does it do for them? Next verse. A wise man has great power, and a man of knowledge increases strength. So as we grow in wisdom and knowledge, then people will follow us. Okay? People will seek out our wisdom and knowledge. By wisdom, you have great power. By knowledge, you have strength. So you grow in power and strength as you grow in wisdom and knowledge. And then finally, what about those who are in charge? Leaders who are in charge, verse 6, for waging war you need guidance, and for victory many advisors. So wisdom is important for leaders, whether they have wisdom like Solomon did, or whether they seek out advisors who have wisdom, who can bring that discernment to whatever situation is at hand. Now, at the beginning of Proverbs, we've talked last week a bit about chapter 1, and we're going to finish up some verses in chapter 1, verses 20, etc., and then also a little bit in chapter 2. We've talked about chapter 2 last week, and we'll touch on a little bit of it. But what we want to do now is take a look at chapter 3, because chapter 3's got some interesting and some valuable bases for what we need to understand about wisdom and understand about why these proverbs are important to life. Now, in the first 12 verses, actually in the first 10 verses, Solomon gives us five commands, five important commands, and with each command he gives us a reward. He says what we get out of it as we follow that command, and it all applies to life. So let's take a look at that. What's the first one? Chapter 3, verse 1. My son, Solomon says, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. Number one command is to remember, is to listen to the guidance of others. Listen to these proverbs, but not only that, take them to heart and remember them. Okay? Do not forget this teaching. Keep my commands in your heart. Put them in practice, right? Remember and take to heart what you've been taught. And the reward for that, verse 2, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. You'll live long and prosper. Okay? Solomon said that long before Spock on Star Trek said that. Okay? And how do you live long and prosper? Not by what Spock says, but rather by hearing, taking to heart, remembering, and putting into action these proverbs, these lessons of wisdom. Second command, verse 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Wise people know that love and faithfulness are key parts of life. So make those key parts of your life. Why? Verse 4, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Okay? You will win favor and a good name or a good reputation with God and with man. It's very valuable. Next command, verse 5 and first part of 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. This is a key verse. You've probably heard this. You probably remember having heard this. Maybe you've memorized this. This is a foundational verse here for the book of Proverbs and for our lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. This gets back to what we talked about last week, about how God is in control. This has to do with fear of the Lord, by recognizing that He's in control, that in doing so, we put our trust in Him. We don't lean on our understanding, but rather we acknowledge His understanding, wisdom, and ways, and we follow that. So that's the third command. The reward for that, He will make your path straight. He will get rid of obstacles. He will give us the right way to go. He will make life a whole lot easier and more successful and better as we follow His way rather than our way. Command number 4, verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Sounds very similar to the last command, but it's that important that we have to see it again, but now we're seeing it a different way. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Now, this will kind of get into the mocker that we're going to talk about a little bit today. Okay? Fear the Lord, put Him in control, let Him be in control, because He already is, and shun evil. So, through fear of the Lord, look to God's wisdom, not your own. Why? Verse 8, this will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. It gives you a healthy life. We know these days how related, or that there's a great relationship between physical health, mental health, and spiritual health. Solomon knew that back in. And he says, don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, shun evil, and that will make you healthy. That will give you a healthy life. Verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Okay, so return to God the first fruits of what He has given you. Out of all the guidance that Solomon can give us, this is one of the top five. One of the top five things that we need to take to heart and follow in our life. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. And this is not just a tithe. This is giving back to God joyfully, willfully. Give back until it feels good. Okay? Why? You've heard the phrase, you can't outgive God. Well, Solomon knew that. Verse 10, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. God will bless you as you return to Him, as you trust Him by returning to Him what He's first given you. Okay? Your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. He'll bless you beyond measure. So those are the five key lessons, five key commands, five key things that we're to take to heart. Number one, remember and take to heart what you've been taught. Number two, make love and faithfulness key parts of your life. Number three, trust in God, not in yourself. Number four, through fear the Lord looks at God's wisdom, not your own. And number five, return to God the first fruits of what He's given you. Why should we do those things? Because of the five great rewards. Number one, you live long and prosper. Number two, you'll win favor and a good reputation with God and others. Number three, He'll show you the right way to go and will remove obstacles. Number four, you'll have a healthy life. And number five, He will bless you beyond measure. Okay? Great payback. Great commands. Great life that comes as a result of following those commands. Now, we've talked about wisdom and discipline. What does discipline have to do with wisdom? The next verse of Solomon addresses that. He says, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves. As a father, the son He delights in. So as we feel the Lord's discipline, recognize that that's done out of love. He loves us so much that He wants to guide us back into His ways. The problems we have are always a result of us taking charge and doing things our way instead of doing things God's way. That's what sin is. And when He sees us going the wrong way, He wants to bring us back. And He wants to direct us, and He wants us to live the full, happy life and enjoyable life. And we do so by following His way. And so He loves us so much that He will guide us as we stray. The value of wisdom is covered in the next number of, in the rest of chapter 3. And let's look at that. Now, this section here from verse 13 through verse 18, there's a poem here. And it begins and ends with the same word. And that word is blessed. Blessed. So this has to do with wisdom, right? Because that's what we're talking about here. What does blessed have to do with wisdom? 13 to 15. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she, wisdom, is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Wisdom is more valuable than anything in this world. And if you have wisdom, you are blessed. You are blessed. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, because that's more valuable than anything else in this world. More valuable than anything else you can imagine. Gold, rubies, silver, you name it. Why is wisdom more valuable than silver, gold, and rubies? That's what he goes on to explain in the next verses. Long life is in her right hand. Okay, long life, that's pretty valuable. You can't buy a long life with silver, gold, or rubies, right? In her left hand are riches and honor. Huh, So if we have wisdom, then maybe we'll also have silver, gold, and rubies, right? That's what happened to Solomon, right? And not only that, but honor. You can't buy honor. You try to buy honor, and that kills your honor, right? 17. Wisdom's ways are pleasant ways. Okay? How many people do you know who have lots of silver, or have you heard about at least, who have lots of silver, gold, and rubies, who are very wealthy, but have a very miserable life? Wisdom that can bring those things gives you a pleasant life. Okay? And all of her paths are peace. So it's a peaceful life as well. Verse 18, she's a tree of life to those who embrace her. So as you embrace wisdom, that fills your life. It's a source of life. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. So there are lots of blessings that come with wisdom. So as you see, wisdom is more valuable than anything else you can imagine. It gives you a long life, gives you riches and honor, pleasant ways, a peaceful life. It's the source of life and brings you great blessings. None of that you can get with anything else. Why should we consider wisdom so valuable for our lives? Going on, verse 19. By wisdom, the Lord, God, Yahweh, laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. And by his knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge are so important because they were important to God. That's how he created us. That's how he created everything we see, feel, know, hear, and touch. That's how he created the universe. He created everything using wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. Then Solomon summarizes his teaching on the value of wisdom in the next verses. Verse 21. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Don't let them out of your sight. They'll be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you'll go on your way in safety, and your foot won't stumble. When you lie down, you won't be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being snared. So as we follow God's wisdom, we'll have his confidence to meet difficult situations. Life is going to throw difficult situations at you. Wisdom's not going to keep that from happening, but it's going to allow you to get through those a lot easier. Okay? It'll give you God's confidence to meet those difficult situations and give you the discernment on how to get through those in the best manner. So, wisdom's valuable. Wisdom is something that we want. So, we want wisdom. How do we get it? How accessible is wisdom for those who really want to have it, who seek it? Back to chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateway of the city, she makes her speech. How accessible is wisdom? It's there, ready. Not just ready, but trying to make itself known. Okay, even in the public squares where there's so much noise, you think about the public squares back then and all the marketplace and how noisy it was, and one vendor would be yelling over another vendor to try to get your attention. Well, wisdom calls aloud in the street, raising her voice in the public square, trying to get your attention. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, the gateways of the city were where all the traffic of people came in and out, where all the business was official business was conducted, because that was a meeting area. Obviously a busy, noisy area. All this stuff is distracting. There's lots of distracting things in our lives. Wisdom is there trying to make herself known, but we're so often distracted. For those who aren't distracted by all the distractions of life, wisdom is there ready. So wisdom is openly accessible for all who are not distracted by the worldly things. Now, there are three groups who don't hear wisdom's call. three groups of people, and that's the topic of today, who do not heed the call of wisdom, who lack wisdom. And they're introduced in the next verse, and you can see how they differ. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How long, and this is also our key verse if you look at the top of page one, how long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? So we have three groups of people. We have the simple ones. Okay, these are the inexperienced, the young, those who have not had the experiences, those who have not learned the lessons, whether through experience or from being taught. They haven't had the opportunity to grow in wisdom yet. Okay, so there's the simple. And then there's the mockers, the arrogant people who don't feel that they need wisdom. They're better than wisdom. And then the fools. These are downright stupid people who don't value wisdom and don't want wisdom and don't care about wisdom. We're going to talk about all three. No, they're different, but they also have something in common. Verse 28. They will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me and will not find me. This is wisdom talking. Since they hated knowledge and didn't choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. So since they reject God and His wisdom, they'll reap the consequences of their actions, of their lack of wisdom, rather than the rewards and blessings that wisdom brings. So they suffer because of their own lack of wisdom, even though wisdom is there crying out in the busy streets trying to get their attention. What can these three groups expect? Verse 32, for the waywardness of the simple will kill them. The complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. So those, and you can also look back at verses 26 to 27 and see a little bit more discussion on this. Those who ignore wisdom, who will not accept wisdom, who will not grow in wisdom, will experience death and destruction without God's protection. Can you go through life without wisdom? Yeah, people have done it. It's a lot tougher because God's not there with His blessings of protection because they've rejected Him and His wisdom. How does this differ from those who seek wisdom? Verse 33. Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. We just read that, and we just read it again. Those who follow God and His wisdom will live in the security of God's protection. Another key, perfect reason why we should seek wisdom. So we have a positive and a negative thing. We have the positive of all the benefits that come with having wisdom and growing in wisdom, but then we have a negative of all the curses and consequences that those who reject God and His wisdom get. How do we avoid those? How do we avoid that? Well, Solomon explained that in chapter 2. In verse 11, he says, discretion will protect you. Understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse. So if you're concerned about, you don't know if you're growing in wisdom, or if you are one of the simple, the mocker, or the fool, and have curses and consequences in store, he says, don't worry about it. If you have discretion, if you grow and seek discretion, that'll protect you. Understanding will guard you. Wisdom will save you and keep you from joining the ranks of these wicked people, the simple, the mocker, and the fool. So then how do we reap the rewards of God's wisdom? Verse 20. Thus you will walk in the ways of good men and keep to the paths of righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land and the unfaithful will be torn from it. So as we walk in the righteousness of good men instead of the evil ways of wicked men, then that is showing wisdom, and that is also protecting us. That's the protection that Solomon had talked about here. Okay? So, you don't have to worry about it if you are seeking God and His wisdom and putting God first, then He will protect you. That doesn't mean that bad things won't come, but He will help get you through those with His wisdom. All right, now let's talk about these three types of people who don't have the wisdom to recognize the importance of wisdom, and thereby they reject it. The first, we have the simple. Now, all three of these are talked about in Proverbs chapter 9, and you don't have those verses to read, but we'll go ahead and read them because they give us a basis for each one of these. It starts out with the simple. Verses 1 through 6 of chapter 9 says, "Wisdom has built her house. She's hewn out its seven pillars. She's prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She's set her table. She's sent out her maids, and she calls from the highest point of the city." Okay? So wisdom is ready. And wisdom is calling out, "If you want me, here I am," right? "Let all who simple come in here," she says to those who lack judgment. "Come, eat my food, drink the wine that I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you'll live. Walk in the way of understanding." So here we have the simple that wisdom is trying to seek out. And what does it say? Those who lack judgment. Okay, those who lack judgment are the people who have not had the chance to have that developed yet. Okay, the inexperienced, the gullible. Okay, some of the primary problems of the simple. Proverbs 7:7. "I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment." Okay, there it is again, what we saw in chapter 9. They are young and inexperienced and they lack judgment. Judgment comes from experience. Judgment comes from learning lessons, whether you experience from lessons of experience or lessons that you've been taught. The young and inexperienced and untaught lacks that judgment. That's the simple. Chapter 14, verse 15. "A simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thought to his steps." Okay, a simple man believes anything. He's gullible. Why? Because he doesn't have the judgment, the discernment of knowing right from wrong, of knowing what's true and what's not. You can pull one over on a simple one very easily. Okay, a simple one doesn't always get the joke because they're gullible. They don't know how, they're not able to discern. Proverbs 22 verse 3, "A prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it." So simples, they don't recognize danger, and they go head first into it. Okay? They suffer for it as a result. Now the simple has a future ahead of them that they can turn from being simple and gain wisdom, and wisdom is calling out to him for that. What can the simple expect if he doesn't gain prudence? Okay, if he doesn't grow in wisdom? Proverbs 14:18. "The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge." Okay, so those who are prudent, who seek out wisdom, will gain wisdom. Okay, will gain knowledge. But those who are simple and stay simple, it's folly. They inherit folly, which is foolishness. That's what folly is. They become the fool. Stay simple, and you'll turn into the fool. If you're prudent, you will grow in wisdom and knowledge. If you stay simple, chapter 1, verse 32 says, "For the waywardness of the simple will kill them." You'll have a short life because they're always heading head first into danger without thinking about it, without knowing, because they don't have the judgment. How can the simple gain prudence and escape this destiny? Let's go to the very beginning. Here are some proverbs. These proverbs from Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, are here for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, for doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add, we've read all that. So, by following the teachings of the experienced and the wise, the simple can become wise. The simple will gain prudence
and escape that destiny of becoming the fool. They'll learn from their experiences, but they'll learn a whole lot more, a whole lot faster if they learn from people who have lessons to teach. Okay? That's the simple. The second one that we saw is the mocker. The mocker. And the mocker is then talked about in the next verses, verses 7 through 12 of Proverbs chapter 9. It says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes a wicked man incurs abuse. So there you see kind of a parallel between mockers and the wicked. Do not rebuke a mocker or he'll hate you. But if you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. Because he'll learn from your lesson. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. We see that a mocker is not a wise man. He will hate you if you try to correct him. He will insult you. He doesn't take correction, doesn't take direction from anyone. Why not? Because he's arrogant. He's self-opinionated. He thinks he's got it all himself. He knows what's right, even though he doesn't. There's a verse that we read last week. There's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it ends in death. The mocker is the prime individual that falls into that. So, what is the primary problem of the mocker? Chapter 21, verse 24. The proud and arrogant man, mocker is his name, he behaves with overweening pride. That's the big problem of the mocker. Arrogant pride. He's arrogant, he's proud, and he lets you know about it. Okay? Arrogant pride is his problem. 26 verse 12. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. So the mocker, this arrogant pride is there because he's wise in his own eyes. He thinks he's got all the answers. He thinks he knows more than everybody else. He's wise in his own eyes. The problem is there's more hope for a fool than there is for him. And 29 verse 8. Mockers stir up a city. But wise men turn away anger. Their pride creates problems for other people. You see that also in 13 verse 10. It says, pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. So it creates problems for other people. The mocker creates problems for other people. Is there a way to fix them? Is there a way to correct the mocker? Proverbs 15 verse 12, a mocker resents correction. He will not consult the wise. That's why there's more hope for a fool than for him. A fool might be corrected, but a mocker will not be corrected. Proverbs 9 verses 7 to 8, we already read that, and that says, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. So you're best just staying away from him, right? How should you treat a mocker? Chapter 22, verse 10. Because if you try to correct them, if you try to help them, you're just going to get slammed on. 22, verse 10. Drive out the mocker, and out goes strife. Quarrels and insult are ended. So how do you deal with a mocker? Avoid them. It doesn't sound very nice, but it's either get slammed, have quarrels and insults and strife, or if you avoid them, you remove them from your life, and your life will be better. Because they create problems for everyone. Chapter 21, verse 11. When a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. When a wise man is instructed, he gets knowledge. Okay, so if you punish a mocker, you're just going to get slammed back. But if it turns out to be a simple one, they'll learn from it. But not only that, but a simple will see the punishment that you due to a mocker and learn from that. Gain experience, gain wisdom, and gain prudence. So even though the mocker's not going to learn from the discipline, others watching, especially the simple, will watch that and gain from that. When a mocker is punished, the simple gain wisdom. So there we have the simple, the mocker. The third one is the fool. Okay? Just a downright fool. What does Proverbs 9 say about this? We'll read verses 13 through 18. The woman folly. Okay, we've seen wisdom referred to as a woman. Okay, so we've got a personification here of folly, of foolishness, of the fool. The woman folly is loud. She's undisciplined and without knowledge. She sits at the door of her house on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come in here, she says to those who lack judgment. Okay, the simple don't know any better. The simple don't know that this is folly speaking instead of wisdom. Stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of the grave. The foolish ones are ones to be avoided as well, especially by the simple. That's the problem, is that the foolish can lead the simple astray. And what's the deal with the foolish? They're just plain stupid. Okay? How do you know the foolish? Well, let's look at some of the characteristics, and we'll kind of bounce around, because I've tried to kind of put them in an order that kind of relates to the previous statement, stuff like that. Chapter 17, verse 24 says, a discerning man keeps wisdom in view, but a fool's eyes wander to the ends of the earth. Okay, so a discerning man keeps his focus and knows where he's going. But a fool, his eyes wander to the end of the earth. What does that mean? A short attention span. Okay, distracted very easily by any and everything. Chapter 12, verse 11. He who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. The fool chases fantasies. The fool lacks judgment. So there we have a couple. So the judgment that's lacked by the simple, it's never gained. The simple are the ones who become fools, and so that's what we need to help the simple, to keep them from becoming fools. Okay? So they chase fantasies. They lack judgment because they don't know the difference between a fantasy and real life and all that. Chapter 14, verse 12 says there's a man that seems right, a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it ends in death. So it's very dangerous, these fantasies that the fool will chase. Chapter 23, verse 9. Don't speak to a fool, for he'll scorn the wisdom of your words. You try to teach a fool, and they just won't get it, and they'll laugh at you because they don't have discernment. They don't recognize the wisdom that you're trying to help them with. They're slow to learn as a result. Chapter 17, verse 10, a rebuke impresses a man of discernment. If you rebuke a wise man, they'll learn from it. More than 100 lashes a fool. More than 100 lashes is what it takes to impress a fool. Not a simple rebuke, not a simple direction and instruction, but you really got to work hard to get the attention of a fool so that they can learn from it. Verse 16, of what use is money in the hand of a fool since he has no desire to get wisdom? They waste money because they don't understand the value of money. They don't understand how to use it because they are slow to learn. They lack discernment, slow to learn. Chapter 27, verse 22, though you grind a fool like fool in a mortar, grinding him like grain with a pestle, you will not remove his folly from him. So it's hard to get a fool, the foolishness out of a fool. Okay? They're hard because they are slow to learn. Back to chapter 1, verse 7. This is the key verse of the book of Proverbs, we said. And, you know, the first half says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But there's a second half. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. Not only do they not recognize the wisdom that you try to impart, and the discipline and the discernment, they don't value it. In fact, they despise it. That's why they're slow to learn. Chapter 18, verses 6 to 7. A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating. A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul. They don't know when to shut up, right? They speak without thinking. They blurt out the stupidest things that just get them into trouble. A fool's lips bring him strife. His mouth invites a beating. His mouth is his undoing. His lips are a snare to his soul. Okay, they speak without thinking. Some other similar verses that kind of bring this in a little deeper. Chapter 12, verse 23. A prudent man keeps his knowledge to himself. Okay, but the heart of fools blurts out folly. Okay, they blurt out folly. They speak without thinking. Chapter 13, verse 16. Every prudent man acts out of knowledge, but a fool exposes his folly. And then 17, verse 28. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. But it's awful hard for a fool to do that. He just blurts right out, speaks without thinking. What's so bad about speaking without thinking? Well, the next thing, chapter 24, verse 7. Wisdom is too high for a fool. In the assembly at the gate, he has nothing to say. Okay? He has nothing to say. He doesn't have anything to say of value. So when he's around wise people, he can't say anything because he just doesn't fit in. He has nothing of value to say. Next, chapter 18, verse 2. A fool finds no pleasure in understanding, but delights in airing his own opinions. He doesn't care what other people think. He's very opinionated because he won't compromise. He finds no pleasure in compromise and understanding other people's point of views, but he loves everybody to hear his point of view. He delights in airing his own opinion. Okay, some similar verses. Chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Well, he doesn't listen to other people because his way seems right to him. And then chapter 20, verse 3. It's to a man's honor to avoid strife, but every fool is quick to quarrel. Every fool is quick to quarrel, which kind of really brings us into the next one. You know, he's ready to argue, to stand up to his point, no matter how wrong it might be, right? Quick to quarrel. And that goes further, 29 verse 11, a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. Okay? So they're quick-tempered, gives full vent to his anger. So he runs into something that upsets him, and he doesn't hold his temper. Chapter 12, verse 16, a fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. And then you've encountered people like that, right? Solomon here is calling him a fool. Chapter 10, verse 23, and if you called them a fool, they would be quick to anger, right? A fool finds pleasure in evil conduct, but a man of understanding delights in wisdom. So he finds pleasure in evil, enjoys evil. 13:19, a longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil. They enjoy evil. And then 15, verse 21, folly delights a man who lacks judgment, but a man of understanding keeps a straight course. Okay? They're always going off in the wrong direction because they don't have judgment. And that's fine with them. They delight in that. They delight in going the wrong way. They find pleasure in evil. How do we deal with the fool? Okay, we saw with a mocker, we're to avoid him, right? And stay away from him. What about a fool? Chapter 13, verse 20. He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So we have to be careful not to hang around them because you are with the people you keep, right? Okay, the people you keep has a lot to say about who you are. If you hang around wise people, then you will grow wise. If you hang around fools, then you'll grow foolish. And you'll suffer the harm that's destined for the fools. Proverbs 17, verse 12. Better to meet a bear robbed of her cubs than a fool in his folly. Okay? So being around foolish people who are acting foolish is very dangerous. It's less dangerous to run into a mama bear who's looking for her cubs and is upset about losing her cubs. Verse 25. A foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to the one who bore him. A foolish son brings grief to his father and bitterness to his mother. And then also verse 21 is kind of related. To have a fool for a son brings grief. There's no joy for the father of a fool. You can't really get away from that. If you have a child who's a fool, you're still going to be around them, so you want to try to get them from being a fool, right? Which we're going to talk about in just a minute. Proverbs 26, verse 4, and actually chapter 26, verses 1 through 12. Let's go ahead and read that whole section. Like snow in summer or rain in harvest, honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. A whip for the horse, a halter for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Okay, you got to whip smartness into a fool is kind of what it's saying here. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you'll be like him yourself. So you've got to be careful not to get caught up in a fool's folly. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. So in other words, if you are posed a question by a fool and it's a foolish question, then give him a foolish answer. Otherwise, he'll be wise in his own eyes. Like cutting off one's feet or drinking violence is sending of a message by the hand of a fool. So just don't do it. Like a lame man's legs that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. So what's a proverb? It's a wise saying. What's a fool? Someone who doesn't have wisdom. So if you hear a proverb from a fool, just kind of ignore it, right? Like tying a stone in a sling is the giving of honor to a fool. Okay, if you don't tie a stone in a sling. You put a stone in a sling so that you can then throw it and it leaves the sling. But if you tie it in there and you try to throw it, the stone's going to stay in the sling. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. It's like that is the giving of honor to a fool. Like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand, he doesn't feel the pain, but he can sure inflict pain on others with it, right? Is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. So a fool can take a good proverb and do damage with it. Like an archer who wounds at random. Well, and plus that fool's not going to feel the meaning behind the proverb. Like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a fool or any passerby. Okay, just meaningless. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. It looks stupid and gross to us, but a dog will do it and a fool will do it. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Staying away from a fool sounds like the thing to do, just like staying away from the mocker. The simple can be led. The simple can be raised up and taught wisdom. They just haven't had the opportunity yet. But the mocker and the fool, they're hard to get across. But if you are a parent of a fool, what do you do? Children have foolishness, right? Children don't have experience. They're the simple. So how can parents keep the folly of children from growing into the fool? Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. What's a parent to do? Train them, discipline them. By training and discipline, that's a parent's job, is to train and discipline the foolishness out of children. Teach them to be wise. Grow them in wisdom. Teach them the lessons that you've learned, such as what Solomon has done here with these proverbs. That's our job as parents. So there's the simple, the mocker, and the fool. Are you the simple? Are you the mocker? Are you the fool? If you find any of that in you, try to get away from it, right? And how do you get away from it? By growing in wisdom. And learning and taking to heart these proverbs is a good way to get there. So, how are you with the proverbs? Turn to page 4, and if you haven't completed the quiz yet, go ahead and complete it. And then if you've completed it, you can take a look at the teacher notes for the answers or go through the PowerPoint and you'll see the answers there. Let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for so many things. We thank you for your love and your wisdom. Your love that you shower your love
on us in so many ways, including caring for us by giving us your wisdom, so that we may know your will and walk in your ways and know the right thing to do, gain your discernment, your wisdom, your understanding, so that we can then have a full life and not be caught up into the consequences and problems and troubles of life that the simple, the mocker, and the fool have in store for them. Thank you for the guidance. Thank you for the people who have gone before us and have given us their words of wisdom, that we can grow from those, take those to heart, and become in a stronger relationship with you, recognize the importance of that so that we then can have fullness of life that you've got in store for us. We pray this in the name of Him who brought your great wisdom to this earth, Jesus Christ. Amen.